We were off yesterday, so we didn't get a chance to react to Jair Alexander's dad, who appeared on KBN, Kyle Brust-Nortman, on Wednesday afternoon. After the news broke that Jair Alexander signing with the Baltimore Ravens, also going along with that report from our guy Adam Schefter that he had taken less because he wanted to play with the Ravens, particularly he wanted to play with his former college teammates in Lamar Jackson. But I'm going to play some of this sound for you, Chew, and I want you to let me know if you feel any different about the Packers letting him go, if they should have, they shouldn't have, because he had a lot of things to say over the course of that show, and he thought that Jair was staying in Green Bay before the Packers sent over the minimal offer that they sent.
It was a bunch of kumbaya moments. Before they sent that contract over, I thought he was staying. People were asking me, I think we're staying in Green Bay.
So he ultimately does not stay in Green Bay. Gets a $6 million contract, $4 million base, and then he can earn $2 million more to make up to six. So then the guys asked, hey, would Jair be a Packer if the Packers offered a similar contract?
If the Green Bay Packers offered a contract comparable with what the Ravens contract offered, would he still be a Packer today?
Yes.
And Jair also was not given the ability to send a counter offer to the Packers based on, again, Landis Alexander was on Twitter saying, hey, there were no guarantees in there. And apparently Jair not able to negotiate this contract at all.
What was Jair and his camp ever given the opportunity to counter what this Green Bay offer was that was clearly unattractive?
I know they didn't come back with anything. Once we sent it back, they didn't come back with anything.
What was the offer? Do we know?
We don't know the specifics. He basically said no guarantees is what he said on Twitter. He didn't throw a number or attach a number to it.
Yeah, which is not legal by the CBA, so there is some vested veteran number.
Because there's a base number that becomes guaranteed.
Yeah, the moment you make the opening day roster, that number becomes guaranteed.
So that's the veteran number, I think, right now is like 1.2, 1.3.
But sometimes in organizations, cup runneth over. And that's what happened here. And I compared it to Wayne Simmons, right? For whatever reason, he wasn't controllable. Fritz was the only one that controlled him. Holmgren's cup runneth over, right? And where our defense in Super Bowl 31 was, I didn't realize how good they were until I went back and rewatched it. And I was like, wow, they won us the game?
Yeah.
I think they lost us the game in San Diego. All right? And I think Wayne Simmons may have made a difference, because if Wayne knew that Terrell Davis was hurting, Wayne's the type of guy that's going to finish the deal.
Yeah.
Right? So I hope it doesn't get to that. I hope, playoff time comes around and, they're in a good position. All of a sudden they suffer injuries at that position where you're regretting, like, God, if we only had Jair.
Because this seems like a pretty, $4 million base up to $6 million.
I get it, though. Sometimes the cup runneth over, and obviously.
But because the issue that I have here. And again, it's we're never going to know what the actual communication was. And you have one side saying one thing, because clearly the Packers felt like he could have been able to play. And I think that's based off of LaFleur, his body language, the way that the injury was dealt with and handled from the moment that it happened, right? And he goes out there for 10 plays against the Bears, and those are the last 10 plays he ends up playing as a member of the Green Bay Packers. But then you have Landis saying, hey, they misdiagnosed this injury, and had they diagnosed it correctly, Jair could have been out there at the end of the season, because he could have had the surgery to clean it up, and the recovery time would have allowed him to be out there at the end of the season.
Oh, let me ask you guys this. Joshy, you too. Do you guys live by fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you?
I think we all do, don't we?
Do you, though? I live it. I live it in certain circles. Sometimes you don't even get fool me once. Okay. You're just out.
All right.
But if you're in the inner, fool me once, okay. Fool me twice, you're out.
But what did Jair do? Okay, but if we take Jair at his word, and again, it's hard. He ultimately got surgery on the knee. So fool me once, I think we all agree, is wandering out to be a captain against the Panthers a couple of seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
What's fool me twice? If it's a legitimate injury that he needed surgery on.
But he said it, Gabe. He did, didn't he say, I am not playing unless I am 100%. You cannot play this game if that is your mantra. You cannot.
But ultimately, like, he needed surgery to fix the injury. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
but,
I don't think he was holding anything back. If he needed surgery in
the Packers, but the year before was the bigger problem.
100%.
Was the bigger problem.
So, and I understand that. And I understand that the Packers were probably, much like with Romeo Doubs, like Romeo hasn't had strike two, right?
No.
But Romeo, strike one was pretty big. And we've talked about it with Jason, where
sure.
It's going to be tough for the coaching staff, for this front office, to fully put all of their faith into Romeo Doubs because of the incident that he had before. That doesn't just disappear. And that kind of feels what's, to me, happening here as well. Like, they didn't quite get over it. And now they had the excuse and decided to move on.
Look, I played with a torn, where in today's world, I probably would have had surgery. I also played with torn cartilage. And this is a different era. I get it.
Yeah.
I played with torn cartilage in my knee in 90, the year we lost in Dallas to
95.
All right. I played 8 games with it, knowing I was going to need surgery at the
end. Had your first Pro Bowl year on it, huh?
Was that it?
Or what
maybe year? It was 94.
Okay.
It was 94.
I mean, you guys lost to the Cowboys 3 straight years.
Yeah,
so.
They all run together. It's just a team's we call it stealing in the locker room. We call it stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing's not an ACL. Stealing isn't, you know, torn rotator cuff.
Yeah.
All right. Stealing is like, suck it up, buttercup. You can play.
Yeah.
That drives them crazy. You know, more than anything. And I just think it got to the point where it was like, no.
Yeah, I guess we're
not
going to
be fool
bucks,
me 3 times.
But yeah, I don't know if I actually
agree.
Got to the fool me two, the fool me second time. But I also do feel better about this cornerback, because corner wasn't a huge issue for them last year, down the stretch without Jair. And I think the cornerback room got better with the addition of Nate Hobbs.
But is it good enough to win a Super
Stokes?
Bowl? That's the question, Gabe. Is it good enough to win a Super Bowl?
They got a lot of things that aren't good enough to win a Super Bowl, if we're being honest. And that's actually, so I'm glad you asked that question, because I was going to ask you a question about that, because PFF ranked the pass catchers and the running backs across the league. We'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. But coming up next, we've got to test the big guy, see what he remembers about what he has said this week as we play a little week in Reachu. Milwaukee, well, it just got a little hotter. And I'm not just talking about the temperature outside, because it's going to be pretty hot this weekend. Announcing the buys of summer at Ewald Automotive Group. Get the lowest prices guaranteed on new vehicles. Ewald will beat your best price by $500, or they'll pay you $500 cash guaranteed. With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, you're sure to find that perfect ride from your family. Again, 1,500 vehicles. Well, how do they do that? Well, they have 11 brands, 10 locations. So, of course, they've got plenty of room for 1,500 vehicles. One easy experience. Don't miss the Ewald Buys of Summer sales event. It's going on right now. See dealer for details. Expires month end. All starts at ewaldauto.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
yes,
do.
Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it
to
the minus.
Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have the...
Yeah, they do.
Yes, where?
Sure do.
On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the
drawer? You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Just let me cry a little bit more. 10 years ago, the Badger basketball team made a run in March that was magical. Wisconsin basketball made them believe. Cut up Thursday, June 26th. Join the stars from that squad as they remember and celebrate the 2015 run to Indy. Get your tickets and be a part of this intimate night at the Orpheum Theater in Madison with Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Josh Gosser, and of course, the Hall of Famer, Bo Ryan. UWHoops2015.com. UWHoops2015.com. Get your tickets now. Untold stories, memories from that season, and special guests are sure to make this night one you don't want to miss. It's Made and Believe, a celebration of the 2015 Badgers basketball team, June 26th at the Orpheum Theater. Tickets on sale online. UWHoops2015.com.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play The Week in Reach You.
How you feeling, big guy?
Yeah.
Day off yesterday.
Did I run it last year or last week?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
A little help, a little assistance. We were generous.
All right, fair.
Did you have a Blammer Thursday yesterday? Yeah. The off day?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Corn's doing good.
Knee high by the 4th of July.
That's going to be. Weeds, at least.
All right, five questions. You get three right, you win. You get three wrong, you lose. But you've got a heck of a streak going on right now. See if you can get the first question. Joshy, take it away.
You got to get mentally prepared.
You told us you had to get mentally prepared to go to Buc-ee's, and what other place? This feels like Josh's revenge.
Is this a hard one?
I don't think it's
particularly hard because you've said this before.
You have.
I have no idea. Church?
Haircuts. Haircuts. Yeah, you have to be mentally prepared to go to Buc-ee's, and apparently you have to be mentally prepared to get your
haircut. Throw dentist in there, too.
You did throw dentist in there as well.
Did I? I don't remember this conversation.
We had that conversation.
Yeah.
You did put dentist on that list earlier this week.
Yeah.
All right, so the streak is over. He's gotten one incorrect. Still plenty of time, plenty of chances to win this week as we go on to question number two.
You painted the house? I'm like, I don't even know why I do this stuff.
What were you unhappy with your wife not recognizing you did?
Oh, the flowers out front. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's insane. And I'll tell you why, okay? This is why.
Okay.
So, my son came back from Minneapolis, right?
Yep.
Moved him to Chicago. She pulls in and sees that there's damage to the bumper of the car. Immediately blames me. Immediately. So that's what she sees.
So she doesn't see the beautiful landscaping that you've done. She sees the small dent in a bumper.
You drive right by, and you've been to the house.
Yeah.
Two big potted plants at the end of the walkway to get up to the house. Doesn't see them, but pulls in and sees a dent probably the size of a baseball on the back bumper. What the hell are we doing here? I mean, is that odd?
I just want to pat myself on the back for getting you to go down the exact road I hoped you would.
Okay.
Making yourself even more in trouble.
And I didn't do it because my son said that happened in Minneapolis where his buddy saw the car hit him. I don't get an apology. Just blame game. My life.
Do you get blamed for everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mind, though.
One small question.
Yeah.
How often is the blame accurate when it's thrown your way?
There's a story. So I got my new truck.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Diesel, love it. It's got probably 6,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I load up the tractor to go cut my in-law's house. For whatever reason, they replaced it with the wrong ball. So.
Oh, for the trailer.
Yeah. So it was hooked up, drove my tractor up it, came unhooked, right through the tailgate. Is that my fault? Is that my fault?
I mean, you did it.
So you were just asking percentage-wise.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But is that, to me, that's not my fault. Not my fault.
You would hope you would recognize the issue beforehand. No?
No. A ball's a ball. I mean, it's...
But when you attached a trailer to it, you would notice, oh, that doesn't seem to be on there right now.
No, because it still fit on perfectly. Why are you taking her side?
I'm just trying to poke holes.
I'm not allowed to use the trailer anymore.
What?
Yeah.
Got a trailer van?
Matter of fact, so I wouldn't use the trailer, she made me bring it over to my father-in-law's house, who buried it behind like three other trailers so I couldn't get at it, because they know I would. So to answer your question, I would say 50-50.
I love the fact that they had to put the trailer
hide it
behind three other trailers.
Like he's a baby.
Yeah.
Put something on the high shelf so Chewy can't reach it.
So my father-in-law had to now go buy a mower for me to use at their house. I'm no longer allowed to transfer.
Well, I can't imagine you like that. I'm guessing you like your mower.
Ah, he got a nice mower.
I was gonna say, he probably got a nice mower.
Yeah, he got a nice mower.
It kind of worked out for everybody.
A little jealous.
Well, see, they had to hide the trailer because that might make it back to your house.
I was about to say, now the problem is he's going to try to dig out the trailer and bring that tractor back.
No, he put locks on all of them. This is ridiculous. It's just... You know the kid in the family that always gets blamed for everything?
That's you.
For my family.
Yeah.
It wasn't for when I grew up as a kid. We had a brother that took all the blame, which was good.
Yeah.
But now I'm that guy.
You lived on Easy Street for half your life. Should be grateful.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, question number three, Joshy.
I put my name on mine. I'm like, no, no. Wait.
What do you label around the house so no one else uses it?
Once again, I have no idea. I don't remember this conversation.
So this then started something that we are going to do next week. We initially had planned to do it today, but Jen is not here today, so we want to make sure everybody's here. You place your name on your ketchup at the house.
Oh, yeah.
Which led us to the blind ketchup taste test of 2025, which will be coming to you next week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I believe that's fair. If you're going to go and buy cheapo ketchup, that's yours, right? Don't be coming over to mine because mine's much better. I think that's fair.
Look, I mean, again, if you think you can tell the difference between all these ketchups.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Then I think it's fair.
I think it would be fair if it wasn't one of the more plentiful things in most people's fridges. Like a ketchup... If you use a ketchup, how often are you running out of ketchup? You go to the grocery store every day.
No, but her theory is you cannot buy another ketchup until her craptastic ketchup is gone. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah, because
I didn't buy it.
You don't want
it's
the craptastic
yours.
Ketchup.
You own it. It's and there is, Gabe. I might not be able to pick out all the ketchups.
Yeah.
But I can pick out Heinz.
Yep.
Or is it Heinz?
Yeah.
And because there's a huge gap. But dropping down to anything else.
I think you're
going to
be surprised.
No, no.
I can't wait for this.
No.
I can't wait. Maybe, what day do you want to do it next week?
Not Monday.
Okay, so not Monday.
Fries? Do it Wednesday because that's a cardio day for
okay.
me.
Okay, all right, Wednesday.
Burn that off.
We are going to do the ketchup taste testing on Wednesday.
Fair. Is that it? Did I lose?
No, we've got two more questions left.
Okay.
He's ready to wave the white flag.
You call him for mercy, uncle?
Tapping out. Question number four, Joshy.
No, that feels realistic. I had some coaches that, crushing breathments during the game.
Which classic sports movie did you say was realistic?
Well, All the Right Moves is probably the most realistic out of every movie out there. I have no idea.
You should have said Reggie's Prayer. That would have been the
right one. If I change that to what classic baseball movie did you say was realistic, would you be able to get at that?
Moneyball?
Bad News Bears.
Oh, that was...
Because the coach was an alcoholic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Breath Mints.
Great movie. Great movie.
That was around us. Again, I had no idea that was actually true. That Pete Crow Armstrong, the outfielder for the Cubs, his mom is the actual mom from the movie Little Big League.
Yeah,
so
I've never seen that.
What triggered that conversation?
Okay. I do remember that.
All right, so you have lost. We'll see if Joshy can run it up on you here. Again, feels a little bit like Joshy's revenge this week after you went perfect 5 for 5 a week ago. Question number 5, Joshua.
I'm like, will you whip it out already? Jeez, I'm crying.
Oh, the boob,
what are we doing?
I was like,
the crying baby. The crying baby.
What subject were we talking about earlier this week that led you to say this? Yes, the worst or most annoying noises.
Yes. And babies crying are fine, but when they're hungry and it's just that
piercing.
Just piercing screaming. Yes. What did I get? 2 for 3?
Yeah, you got 2 out of 5.
2 out of 5.
Yeah.
That's good in baseball. Take that all day long.
do that, and you're a Hall of Famer in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mantality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. So what does that mean? Are you tired, groggy? You just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy that you did a couple of years ago. That's what happened to me. I thought, just getting older, that's the way it is. But it doesn't have to be that way because those are all signs of low testosterone. And if it is low testosterone, then Mantality can come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. That's what I like about Mantality. I've been using it for years now. I go back in every 11, 12 weeks, do the blood panel, get the checkup, just to make sure, yep, everything is still looking good in terms of where your testosterone levels are, and I've got energy. I feel like I did years ago. So what are you waiting for? Go to lowtusa.com. Book your appointment today. Mantality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mantality and their low testosterone treatments. lowtusa.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky's.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You know what I say, happy wife, happy life. That usually means a visit to my guy, Ding Ding, the dancing machine at the Jewelry Center. Earrings, custom jewelry, and repair services. The Jewelry Center does it all, including top-of-the-line engagement rings. And when that day comes for my four boys to take the next step in their lives, you can bet they'll be heading to the Jewelry Center for the engagement ring. The Jewelry Center offers great deals and selections on both lab-grown and naturally mined diamonds for rings. Plus, you always hear about how Gabe went to the Jewelry Center and had a great experience with the Jewelry Center specialist to pick out that perfect ring. Stop into one of their three locations, Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington, today, or check out the full inventory online at shoptjc.com.
Chewy, you asked me earlier in the show if the cornerback group was good enough to win a Super Bowl. I'm going to ask you, is the Packers pass-catching group good enough to win a Super Bowl? Pro Football Focus ranked all 32 receiving cores. So things that factor into this, obviously wide receivers. Maybe you have a good pass-catching back that factors in, and tight ends. So basically anybody who's going to be consistently catching passes.
Are they good enough?
Where do you think the Packers ranked?
I would say 14, 15, 16.
21.
Huh. Okay.
21.
Probably fair.
Yeah. Again, when you start kind of going through and seeing all these talented receiving corps out there and the lack of proof that the Packers have had. So not only that, they rank the running back groups as well. So, you're taking a look at pass catching and running the football. So obviously you're taking quarterbacks out of this. Where do you think the Packers ranked in terms of running back units, according to Pro Football Focus?
5.
7.
Okay.
So I think they just get dinged there a little bit because you don't really know what Marshawn Lloyd is. The teams that are ahead of them have a little bit of depth. Tampa Bay, Bucky Irving, Rashawn White. Seattle has a lot of guys that they really like in Kenneth Walker III, Zach Charbonnet. Philly is 4, even though their backups are A.J. Dillon and Will Shipley. I mean, Saquon Barkley ran for 2,000 yards last year, so you got to keep them in the top 5. Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier are 3 with the Falcons. The Sonic and Knuckles combination, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, 2 with the Lions, number 1, the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
Is that weaponry, 7 at running back, 21 at pass catcher, is that good enough to win a Super Bowl?
Yes, but A players have to emerge. Someone's got to emerge from that receiving group.
But wouldn't you argue if somebody does emerge, then they're going to be higher than 21?
Well, they're basing it upon last year, right?
Yeah, coming into this season. Right now, they're 21st.
I expect Tucker Kraft to have a better year. I would expect one of the young receivers to emerge and be a clear-cut number one, and I expect Jordan Love to play better than he did last year. If that happens, yes, they are good enough. If they play like last year, no. Even with Josh Jacobs having a great year.
Yeah, because I have a hard time. I guess I'm hoping Josh Jacobs doesn't have the same year that he had this past year. Not to say that I'm not hoping that he's going to be as good. I hope he is just as good.
Yeah.
But I feel like the numbers he ended up having were almost out of necessity. You know,
you're right.
If he dropped down to something closer to 1,100 yards instead of going up over 1,300, like I feel he can still be as effective and you can still close out games with him. But some of his numbers get sacrificed. Some of his yards get sacrificed because the receivers are getting better.
What would Dobbs statistically have to do in order for Green Bay to sign him to a multi-year deal?
1,000 yards.
Over 1,000 yards.
He
would have to be the
one. He would have to separate from the pack.
Yes.
84 catches, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns.
Yeah.
You're bringing him back.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, like if Matthew Golden shows real good signs and Dontavian Wicks looks like a guy, well, we'll be able to keep him cheaper. We think he could do something similar.
Yeah, like
if
a bunch of those yards come in the first 3/4 of the season, and then over the last month, Christian Watson gets healthy and everybody else emerges, like, I mean, he would have to be a pretty consistent performer up over and then get up over 1,000 yards throughout the course of the season.
And I'm going to say it right now. I think Dobbs is the one that's going to emerge. I just think he does. I have a weird feeling. I just think he's the one that emerges. I think Jaden Reed is kind of a little Swiss Army knife. Good player. But if Dobbs does that, do they say bye-bye to Christian Watson? Or do they keep them both?
They're not going to keep both. I don't think they're going to be able to keep. I don't think they'll be able to.
It's a good problem to have, but it would be a unique problem because Christian Watson and his size and speed can play in the NFL regardless of like the actual production. Like those guys are valuable, the field stretchers.
Yeah,
but you also have to have a guy that's going to catch 80 balls and be over 1,000 yards.
I have a hard time imagining that Dobbs is the guy that separates.
I just like the way he's going.
You
want to
know
it.
Why? Because he has a hard time separating from corners.
No, I know. But you'd be amazed what guys do in a contract year.
Yeah, but he's good at catching the ball in the crowd because he's always in one.
Yeah, I know.
I'd rather roll the dice with guys. Like, that would be a little scary to me.
But I will say this, Gabe. I like how he's approached this year. Okay? I think he learned his lesson that he was wrong last year and it was stupid to do what he did because he didn't run his mouth after Golden was taken, or who's the guy in the third round?
Savion Williams.
Just kept quiet. Is not really saying much, just going about his business and grinding. I just think I like that because I didn't expect it. I expected a tweet of like waving or something stupid. So I think he learned his lesson. I think he's going to have a good year. I really do. I hope he does.
Yeah, I just think that his opportunities, I think, are going to be limited. I think they're going to want to get Matthew Golden more and more involved, especially as the season goes along. They like Dontavian Wicks. You mentioned with Reed. I'm endlessly fascinated, and it's going to be, I think, really hard to get a feel for how this is all going to play out in training camp. But again, you go back and look at his numbers, and I'm not talking about like how productive he was down the stretch. He wasn't on the field a ton because when they went to two wide receiver sets, he was barely playing. And if they want to play two tight ends more because they want to get the ball to Tucker Kraft and they really like Luke Musgrave, okay, is he not going to be on the field that much? If he's only playing 50%, 50 to 60% of the offensive snaps, like Jaden Reed's offensive production, that's going to be very limited.
He's who's limited the number one right now? Who's the number one going into camp? Who's number one? I mean, if you believe the conversation Rosenhaus had with Goody, which I don't know if I do, would you say Reed's number one?
No.
Because, so you're saying Dobbs is one?
Because, I mean, he by default, but I can't say that Reed is just based on his plate time toward the end of last season.
But you don't know how bent they were if they ever got over it. Because that stuff drives coaches nuts, Gabe.
But like with him, if he's not playing on the outside and he's almost exclusively playing slot, which is what the snap count numbers tell us from last year, he by definition can't be your number one receiver unless he's got the ability to play outside.
Yeah. No, I know. So but last year was a goofy year because no one emerged. And like we said, LaFleur had the pivot. Go heavy run game, which I don't think he wants to do. I mean, he wants to run the ball, but.
So against Chicago, 69.2, 71.4 against Minnesota, 58 against New Orleans, 59.4 against Seattle, 50 against Detroit. That's the percentage of snaps that he was playing.
Mm-hmm. But that's probably holds true for everyone, though. I mean, there was no one playing 80% of the time.
But not if you're a number one receiver.
I agree. But he just does it. He does it a different way, though. LaFleur is always. With these guys, I'm saying.
Yeah. That's just something I am going to keep an eye on. Because 21st, just not good enough.
Nope.
Not good enough. Find out what all the screaming is about with a BOGO offer on Screamin' Sicilian at Pick and Save and Metro Market. That's right. Buy one, get one. All the different Screamin' Sicilian brands. All right. Think about what that means. I mean, we love to talk about Palermo's and the number of different brands they have within Palermo's, but the number of different flavors and the number of different crusts and brands they have within Screamin' Sicilian. So you start with the regular Screamin' Sicilian. Fantastic. Buttery crust. Great. Thin and crispy. If you're looking for a little bit of that thinner crust, maybe you want the thinnest crust, but really crispy as well. You go to the tavern style. But if you're looking for the best crust, Joshy, if you're looking for the best crust, when we're talking about Screamin' Sicilian,
you're going to the Detroit style, of course.
Detroit style pizza. They somehow find a way to make that crust so light and airy. I still can't figure it out, but I got a couple sitting in my freezer at home. So now is the time. Summer, it's going to be warm. You're going to be out there. You're going to be doing a bunch of things with your family, but you still want to eat something great. Take advantage. Load up the freezer with the buy one, get one offer on Screamin' Sicilian at Pick and Save and Metro Market. Goes on through July 1st and for yourself. Find out what all the screaming is about.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm telling you, don't doubt his story because he heebie-jeebies at certain times to miss field goals.
Yeah.
Gabe, I showed you how he does the heebie-jeebies,
heebie-jeebie.
You take your fingers and you rub them back and forth on your thigh and you go heebie-jeebie, heebie-jeebie. Swear the guy bats 100%. So to call him a liar and he puts a curse on you?
Look, stupid. I'm not calling him a liar.
Yeah, you are.
On 94.5 ESPN.
See, now this I just don't get. I don't understand this. The only poll we put up on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll today is crunch the most important texture for food? Only 52% of people are saying yes.
Why would they say yes? Taste is the most important thing.
No, when it comes to texture.
Oh, when it comes to texture.
Yeah, is crunch the most important texture?
Hmm.
Yeah, of course, taste, I would say, yes, that is the most important thing when it comes to food, yes. But that is a difference than what we're talking
about. Is crunch? I'm a tweener. I wouldn't vote.
But what texture is more important than crunch?
Smoothness. Silky smooth.
You're recusing yourself?
Yes.
Here?
Well, yeah, I want smoothness if I'm eating ice cream.
What about creamy, chewy? Sticky.
No, you don't ever want chewy. Why would you want chewy?
Sure you want chewy.
It's more work.
I mean, it depends upon what you're eating.
Give me something you want chewy. You don't want ever want chewy.
I mean, a gummy?
I mean, don't you get sick of swallowing steak sometimes? I had one the other night where it just took me like 5 minutes in my mouth to chop it up. The juice wasn't worth the squeeze.
Don't you get tired of eating steak? No, actually, I don't. Not having it every meal. Dining like a king over there. All right, everybody. Hey, stay safe this weekend. Going to be a hot pot, as Chewy likes to say. Will the Italian, they're coming up next.